And you're very welcome to the very first edition of Writer's Block for 2015. Hopefully it'll be a great year for us and all of our listeners out there. Well, we've got a great show lined up for today. We'll hear from Gavin Costick. He's the literary officer from Fish Amble, a new play company right in the heart of Dublin. And after 4 o'clock, we have our usual live in-studio interview with an aspirational writer. This time we have Patrick O'Sullivan. He's also a songwriter and musician. We're going to have some of his music as well today. So stick around, because we've got a great show. But first, we'll take a bit of music. But before we go any further with that, it's my great pleasure to announce a very happy birthday wish to a very special woman, my own nanny, Josephine Murren from 12 Chantala Drive. She's 91 years young today. Mother of 6, grandmother of 18, and great-grandmother of another 6. So, Nanny, we're all very proud of you, and a very happy birthday. And this one is from Townes Van Zandt, and I hope you like it. Happy birthday, Nanny. And that was Townes Van Zandt with Colorado Girl from his debut album, Townes Van Zandt. Well, on the line, we have Gavin Costick, literary officer from Fish Amble, the new play company. Gavin, you're very welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, and a happy new year to you.
And a very happy new year to you, Gavin, and yours. Well, very thanks for coming on. So, Gavin, tell us about Fish Amble and your role with the company.
Sure. Fish Amble are a new play company. We develop and produce new plays all around Ireland, as far as you can manage. We played, I think, 60 to 80 venues around Ireland each year for the last few years. Small company. There's 2.5 of us. There's an artistic director who's Jim Cullerton, and there's Marquesa Dowling, who produces everything, and then there's me. I'm the literary manager, so I'm the literary manager of Fish Amble, so I suppose I'm responsible for helping find and develop new plays and playwriting for the Irish stage.
Excellent. So you're mainly reading scripts, assessing scripts, is that kind of...
That's one thing. You see, it all began when we've been going for 25 years now, and as we developed and toured successfully, naturally people started to send us their plays. I mean, it just happened. You know, people thought, well, they produce plays, we'll send them to them. And I was reading these plays, and what was frustrating was there's really good work in there, but often not quite as developed as it might be, or if only they had a chance for one more draft. So we started to develop kind of courses and mentoring schemes and working with different communities to see if we could, you know, help people get the best play they could before they sent it off or tried to get it produced. So that's how it all developed.
That's that mentorship program, because I know you guys, you offer a range of playwriting clinics and you do a lot of dramaturgical supports. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about?
Absolutely, yes. So anyone listening to this, or wherever they are in Ireland, but anyone listening wherever, what happened was we all had this building craze in Ireland, building craze at the beginning of the century, and one of the things was some very good things, and some very good things were built, which were art centres. So there's actually a lot of modern art centres in Dublin around the country serving communities and doing their best to really get people engaged.
Absolutely.
Make the best for the art. Access Ballymun in the north of central Dublin there is a fine venue, and there's various others. And I suppose what happened is we were trying to work with finding playwrights and helping develop new plays, and the venues were thinking about how do they get people engaged from the communities to really enjoy the fact that theatre could be made for them. They could be the best of international theatre worldwide. You could go on to be a launchpad for absolutely international success, and you could be a member of a community writing something, building members of the community to entertain each other. So we came from that, really, that we began to work with local venues over like a year-long period, a mentorship program or a residency, I suppose, at a time, and each one would be about a year long, and we'd meet once a month and develop work that way.
Of course, and people are, certainly in the beginning stage of any artist's career, people are extremely likely to support someone from their own community. I was on your website earlier, very great website, lovely design.
But oh, great, thanks.
I think the first thing I noticed was your name. It actually specifies Fish Amble, the new play company. Why have you gone with that? that focus
on that? We're actually named, would you believe, after there was a theatre company founded in the 1780s in Dublin on Fishamble Street, and it was at the attempt at the first sort of national theatre for new writing. This guy called Robert Owenson, and the theatre only exists as an arch in a wall now, and behind it is a block of flats, which is probably typical of central Dublin today. But it was, people might know, it was the place where the Messiah was first performed.
That's its
famous one. But it actually was a new play company commissioning Irish writers to write Irish plays in the 1780s. And when we were looking for a name for our company, and our company, we don't have a venue. We have a couple, just a little office. So we work with other venues. But our little office is quite near Fishamble Street. So Fishamble is you know, the home of new writing. We thought that was a nice touch. So that's where the name came from. And that's where the commitment to new plays came from.
But are you, I mean, you're talking about Fishamble Street. Any true blue dubs out there will probably know it's just off the quays there. Leading up to around the Christchurch area. Are you of Dublin? Because you mentioned already that you've toured around the country. You've toured internationally, have you?
It's a good one. I actually wrote a little essay within Fishamble, say what kind of company is Fishamble? And I think that Fishamble, in a way, is a liberal theatre company in the sense that we stand for the right to have different voices heard on the stage, or we thought, you know, that we want to commission works, the best works we possibly can. So artistic quality is very important, but from a variety of different places and communities, so that different voices, so we don't endorse the content of each play. Each playwright has a chance to get their voice heard on the stage, you know, through Fishamble. That's the idea, you know, that's what we're trying for anyway. And that means sort of almost by definition that we don't always start in the same place. So we are a Dublin-based company, but our last production began in Limerick for the Limerick City of Culture. Before that, early in the year, we had a play called Little Thing, Big Thing by Donal Kelly, which toured, and that started in Castlebar and Westport and then toured. And so we do try to maintain relationships across the island of Ireland with a variety of different places and different communities so as to get those different voices going.
Absolutely, a very noble enterprise, break down the rural-urban divide.
Yeah.
If I was an amateur playwright and I wanted to get you to read my play, or even better, get you to produce my play, what do I do, Kevin?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny word. It's an amateur word. Amateur has a specific meaning within theatre, which is the Amateur Drama Leagues, which I'm very fond of. They're a very fine body and very, very active, and I work with them. But what I think you mean there is, say you want to have your play produced, but you haven't had a play produced before. Say it's more like that. Absolutely, you can send us a play. Look up the website, Fishamble. It's very easy to find, and send us a play. But as I say, we've tried to put more schemes in place. So we have four different courses a year. So if you look at Fishamble, you'll see there's weekend playwriting courses and evening playwright courses. And there are various different schemes there to support different writers in different ways. Just sort of look through them, and I think this year we're looking to have a year-round mentorship in Thurles with the source there. So
fantastic.
We'll be there for the year, and that I think is opening up to people.
Excellent. And is it? I mean, is it difficult? I mean, in one sense, it's easier than ever to get published with all of these, with digital publishing, with blogs, with all of this. But by its very nature, it becomes much more difficult then to get published because there's so many people writing. Is it the same with playwriting?
It is true that a lot of people want to write plays. And indeed, we ran a project called Tiny Plays for Ireland with the Irish Times a few years ago. And we put a call out to the Irish public, you know, via the Irish Times, to send in short plays. And there's an overwhelming response. It's apparently the largest creative writing competition that ever runs. 1,700 people responded. So it was a huge amount of people want to write. The way I look at it is I can tell by looking at some stats that around 70 or 75 new plays are produced in Ireland each year. So 70 or 75 new plays are getting produced. And they're across a range of scales, from little one-person shows, very high-quality shows, but really quite small-scale things, to sort of, you know, The Abbey, The Gates, and other large-scale productions, including some of ours, that end. And the trick, of course, is funding. I mean, the situation in Ireland is, I'm glad to say that people want to go and see plays, so there's audiences for plays. There's lots of festivals, sports organisations, venues, as I mentioned. There's a lot of actors. People want to act. It's very popular. Mm-hmm. And people want to produce and so on. So there's a lot of people who want to be involved. And, of course, funding, because the arts has been cut by the government, the last two governments from 2008 to present, has been cut by 36%, I think, if you just look at the Arts Council. So very, very tough times in the arts like that, except there's a lot of enthusiasm for people to make and produce theatre. So there's a funny, you know, balance going on.
Yeah, and it's...
tension, I should say, really.
And let me be so bold as to congratulate you. It's the work of arts organisations in communities. Some of the stuff that you were mentioning, they're really getting that enthusiasm brimming. Is the only thing that's going to keep the arts alive with in the difficult financial climate.
Yeah, thank you
much. Am I right in saying that the National Library has accepted your archive?
They have. That was very funny. I mean, I hope people are sort of gathering. We're quite an active theatre company, quite forward-looking. We're always moving forward. So I'm not sure we're entirely comfortable with feeling we've become kind of a...
institutional.
A pillar of the community, of whatever the... Yeah. Which we haven't really. But yes, they have, and I think that's great, because when Fish Amble was looking for a name, I went to the Trinity College, Dublin, and I looked in their old book section, and I read from the 1780s the first plays that were put on this old theatre, The one I was mentioning, and I read they have the plays there, the old plays from 200 years ago, and I read them to see what they had on that night. I thought it was really interesting, and a little bit of me is pleased now, because whatever happens with any luck 200 years from now, a young excited theatre maker can look in the library and they say, well, you know, good, bad or indifferent, this is what they did, this is the plays that were produced, these are the people, and that record is there now.
What a wonderful idea, Gavin. You're a romantic at heart, I fear. Well, thanks very much, Gavin. We're just running out of time now, so all that remains for me to do is to ask you where people can find out more information about Fish
Amble. Absolutely. The Fish Amble website, www.fishamble.com, and I'm glad you like the design. Have a look through, see the support, and we will have new plays touring, Pat Kinnaman's Underneath, Little Thing, the big thing that I mentioned, and two big productions of the summer and into the autumn. So I think the best thing to do is go out, enjoy theatre, enjoy seeing the plays, say to yourself, well, I can do that, and then see how you can join in.
Wonderful mission statement. Thank you very much, Gavin.
Okay, thank you.
All the best. Happy New Year.
Cheers. Happy New Year.
Gavin. Bye, Gavin. And that was Gavin Costick of Fish Amble, the new play company doing the very best for drama right in the heart of Dublin. Well, we have a very special first for Writer's Block. I'm delighted to play the music of a very multi-talented man. Our writer after 4 o'clock joining us is Patrick O'Sullivan, but he's also a very talented musician, very talented songwriter, and we're going to play two songs from Patrick now. This first one is So Happy. Great philosophy on life. So here you go, So Happy. And you're very welcome back to Writer's Block with me, Morgan O'Reilly, right here on 90.3 Near FM. Well, the two songs we just heard were from Patrick O'Sullivan, who is the man I'm about to speak to now. Patrick, you're very welcome to the programme.
Great, Morgan. Lovely to be here.
Well, Patrick, before we get into the musical aspect of your career, and we'll be talking a lot about your plays, hopefully, after 4 o'clock as well. Can you just tell us about yourself? Where are you from? Are you working, studying, influences, that kind of... Just a general bio for the listeners.
General bio, okay. Well, I'm from the north side of Dublin, from Cedarwood Road, specifically. Well-known at the moment with U2's track out. And I currently live in Fairview. I'm writing plays. I'm also a songwriter. I've always been a songwriter since my teens. And for the day job, I'm a statistician by trade and work in the financial sector as well in Dublin.
All right, excellent. So you've got a lot of varying things in there. Do you find it helps for, I suppose, artistic endeavour to have a day job and to have lots of different things to draw on?
I don't know if it helps. It helps getting the bills paid. It's very difficult to find yourself full time in an artistic discipline, and I enjoy what I do in the day job. It draws from my training in mathematics, but nevertheless, I think once you can be disciplined enough to make the time and the space to go after whatever it is you're doing, whether it be writing or producing, once you're disciplined to make that time, then I think you can marry the two.
Excellent. And you said that you had always been writing music even in your teens. Was that how you came to writing in the first place?
Yeah. Well, I think I think when John Lennon died, I think that's a big moment, because the world started playing Beatles songs, and then I realized something. The world was bigger than the place that I'd inhabited. I just fell for something at that point in time, and I started hearing music in a different way, and I pretty quickly decided that I needed to get a guitar, I needed to learn it, and I needed to start just composing. And that's what happened. I did come from a musical family. My mother, in her maiden days, Mae Deegan, was a professional singer. There was always music in the family. But the teens, like any teenager getting into music, listen to bands. I think I would date it from falling in love with the Beatles, and then getting a guitar. I think it was for £4 off some chap in school, and just taking it from there, forming a band with my friends, and it just took off from there.
And what about the playwriting? Not even just playwriting. Would drama be your chosen genre? I suppose chosen.
Well, it's interesting the playwriting. I know. I remember in school, in primary school, I went to Sacred Heart Boys National School in Ballygall, and I had a teacher, Owen McConville. He's a great lad. He's still very heavily involved in Ballymun Kickhams. But one thing he may not notice, but one thing he did for me, and I think for a lot of the boys there, was he opened our eyes to poetry. It used to be a treat on certain Fridays that he would bring out the big thick poetry book and treat us to a poem or two. And there was something about the language and the sound of it that I really fell for. In addition to that, there was another teacher there, Kevin O'Malley, and he used to run the school plays. And I was lucky enough to be involved in the plays every year, and I really enjoyed that theatrical world. I don't know if it was being on the stage or just, giving lines to learn or whatever, but I loved that world. Later on in life, I was involved in pantomimes with the Irish Energy Centre when I was doing some work experience with them, and I wrote a song for one of the pantomimes, but I also acted in it, and that was great fun. But I think it probably took off on a serious level when I lived in England for a while in Newcastle. And I got involved in the People's Theatre through a very good friend of mine, Andrew Diat. And they're a marvellous theatre. And anybody who's ever in the northeast of England, you have to check them out. They're a really excellent operation, run like a professional operation. And I did some acting with them, some directing. And I think that was the first time I realised the power of really good drama and really good writing. We did stuff like Bertolt Brecht, Harold Pinter, some Irish stuff as well, and it had a big draw on me. I didn't realise at that stage that I wanted to write. I just realised that, or felt that, there was something fabulous in what these playwrights were creating. And then later on, back in Dublin, I tried my hand at playwriting, and I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Okay, well, if you're listening to us, we're here with Patrick O'Sullivan on Writer's Block, 90.3 Near FM. We're going to go to ads now, but stick around. We'll be talking more to Patrick after the break.
This is 90.3 Near FM.
And you're very welcome back to Writer's Block with me, Morgan O'Reilly. Well, we've got Patrick here again. Patrick, we were taught you just before we left, you were telling us about some of your time in the northeast of England, in Newcastle.
That's right, yeah. The People's Theatre in Newcastle is, I was saying, probably where I got serious about enjoying drama. We did some acting there and some directing. But probably most importantly, I discovered the power of some great playwrights. And I think the one that probably hit me most was Harold Pinter.
because I'd never come across anything like his writing before. And I was acting in one of his plays, The Birthday Party, and it was just an amazing moment. I didn't really know how to deal with the text, but it had a great effect on me and confirmed for me that I wanted to explore that world more. When I came back to Dublin, then working in Dublin, I got involved in a group, an amateur dramatics group called the Touche Players, and I did some work with them. And
were you acting with them as well?
I was acting with them, yeah. We did The Crucible. I was Judge Danforth in The Crucible. Okay. We brought that around the country in the festivals. But at the tail end of my time with them, we did have a few of us wrote short sketches, and we produced an evening of the sketches, and that was probably my first time putting pen to paper for drama. It was a 10-minute thing. And I think that was in the early 90s, and that was the end of that, really. I never picked up a pen again with regard to writing plays until a friend of mine a couple of years back told me that he'd seen in the Irish Times that Fishamble were looking for tiny plays. I know you had Gavin Costigan on earlier, and he made reference to it as well. And for some reason, I went into a room and sat down and wrote a tiny play. And an hour later, it was written. An hour and a half later, it was completed and edited, sent in. And luckily enough, it was selected by Gavin and the Fishamble team. And that really was the start of my career now in playwriting.
And so that was the Tiny Plays competition 2011, did you say?
They did it over 2 years. They went with 50 plays, 25 in 1 year and 25 in the second year. So I think the Tiny Plays 1 was produced in spring of 2012, and Tiny Plays 2 produced in the spring of 2013.
What possessed you to pick up the pen? I mean, you said you kind of left it for. You weren't writing in the 90s. You were mainly acting.
Yeah, that's right. I left. I don't think I meant to leave it. I probably hadn't really started with the playwriting. That thing with Latouche was merely a sketch, so I hadn't really started as a playwright. I did a couple of years before I started playwriting. I did return to songwriting, which I had left alone for quite a period, and I wrote a lot of songs in the mid-noughties, and I took some time off then in 2008. My wife and myself, we adopted our little girl, Thuy Vinh, from Vietnam. Okay. And gave me an opportunity to take 6 or 7 months off. And I had some recording gear at home in the house. And I demoed a load of songs that I'd written. And so this is around, about 2008. And I then kind of, the spark was back, and I was writing, and I knew that that's really what I wanted to do. And so the Tiny Plays thing a few years later, when that happened, what possessed me, I don't know. I suppose my head was probably in a writing frame of mind. I was probably more serious about it, if you like, second time round, and it just felt right. I sat down, and I mean, the story literally came out of me.
What was this first play?
It was called Blisters, and it was a father and son situation where they're on a hike together, and they stop and have a conversation, and in the course of a very short conversation, there is a change in the dynamic between the two people, and they both leave the scene, I think, quite a bit different from the way they entered it.
And Blisters it's a short play. How long is it on stage?
It's very short. It's that was the rule of the Tiny Plays. I think it was 650 words, yeah, including stage directions, I think. So I think it was 5 minutes.
Okay, and why so small? I mean, is it did you need to write that kind of small play to build up the confidence to tackle a larger work, or was it just the requirements of the
No, it was merely the requirements of that specific call out for submissions. They were quite strict rules about the size of the play. They all had to be literally tiny. Yeah, yeah. And that was the idea of that, of Fishambles project. But they also had to be fully formed plays. I mean, they couldn't just be scenes or snapshots. I mean, they had to have a completeness to them.
Kind of an arc.
Yes, indeed, yeah.
And was that, was, because I know you've done some work since with Fishamble, that was the start of your association with them.
It was, yeah, and what a great start it was. I mean, I came from, you know, it was from nowhere suddenly into being involved with a professional theatre company like Fishamble, who are excellent.
What was the venue that Blisters was?
It was put on in the Project Arts Centre in the city centre in Dublin. It was opened by President Higgins. It ran for 3 weeks. I had Don Witcherly and Peter Daly acting in mine. You know, I mean,
fantastic.
Like, I knew these actors, and brilliant. Suddenly, you know, I had Jim from Fishamble directing it. It was just an incredible experience, and opened doors, but certainly generated a whole new motivation in myself.
And what was, where did you go from Blisters?
From Blisters, well, I subsequently did a playwriting course with Gavin in Fishamble, which was great, and just to give a bit of grounding or structure to the ideas that I was having. And I then was selected for the playwriting mentorship program that Fishamble ran from 2013 to 2014. So it was a 10-month program. It was based out in the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary. There was a number of emerging playwrights on that course. So that was another huge step for me, because I was then working with, you know, not just other like-minded playwrights, but some very talented people. For instance, Philip St. John, who you had on here in one of your earlier programs. Kevin Gildea, the comedian, he was in it. Leah Mills, who's just had an excellent novel called Fallen published. She was on the course. There was lots of, you know, very talented people on the course, and it got us we had a chance then to share our work. And I during the course of that mentorship program brought in, Gavin asked me to bring in a full length play that I was working on, an early draft of it, and then a few months later bring in a more, you know, a revised draft. I'm still working on that play, but it's going to be completed New Year resolution Q1 2015.
Excellent.
But they were the types of opportunities that mentorship program gave us. And we also had an evening of new work as part of that program in the Pavilion in May. And I had a play on A Surprise, directed by Richard Lombard Vance, and Willie Lyons and Art Cairns were the actors in it. Great job. I got a great reaction. Really thrilled with the reaction I got from it. And again, another confidence booster. So down to Fishamble for that too.
I mean, you spoke there about, you found yourself in the Pavilion Theatre. It was a 10-month course that you're surrounded by actors. You're talking about Blisters there. You had Don Witcherly in the Project Arts. Michael D. Higgins. All these are quite, you know, household names. Was it not you in particular? I'm just thinking of kind of someone who perhaps hasn't really gotten into much playwriting. I mean, do you feel like a kind of a fish out of water at times? Do you feel, well, Jason, what am I doing here now? Do I have the power to write a play here, and that's going to be put on stage? Will it bomb?
Well, without wanting to sound arrogant, the one thing I said to Linda, my wife, when I came home from that first ever session with Fishamble was, this feels completely right. There was nothing, there wasn't an ounce of fish out of waterness about it. And I was delighted that was my experience. Now, I think part of that was that Fishamble they're very welcoming. I noticed with them that they were very respectful of all of us, the tiny playwrights. Even if we had no experience, they treated you like a serious writer. And I thought that was remarkable, and to their credit. But I mean, that aside, I think I felt very, very comfortable in that environment. I mean, it was funny, and I take the point, Morgan. I mean, you're sitting in a room, and Don Witcherly's asking you about the text and, you know, interpretation points and stuff. It's excellent. It's a brilliant feeling, but it didn't feel strange at all. No, and And I'm glad I didn't, because I went back and I wrote another one and another one, and I'm still going.
And hopefully we'll get to see many more in the future. We're going to take another piece of music now. Maybe I'll let you introduce this one.
Okay.
Eternity.
This is a song I wrote a few years back, and it was produced with a good friend of mine, Donal O'Sullivan, and it's called Eternity.
Okay, this is Patrick O'Sullivan right here on Writer's Block 90.3 on Near FM. And you're very welcome back to Writer's Block with me, Morgan O'Reilly, and Patrick O'Sullivan, our writer that we are interviewing at the moment, right here on 90.3 Near FM. Well, Patrick, before we get into the matter of future productions, your most recent production was just last month in England.
Yeah, that's right. I wrote a play, Fairview's Finest Dancer, another short play. It's a 10 to 15 minute play, and there's a performing arts centre, a theatre in Lincoln, the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, they were looking for submissions. So I submitted this play, and I was lucky enough, there was about 200 submissions, but they selected five, and I was lucky enough to have mine as one of those. So that was last month.
From reading it, I couldn't help but notice it's a very similar set piece to Blisters, except in this time instead of two men walking and stopping for a chat, it's two women.
That's right, it is two women, and they have slightly longer to get to the heart of their matter than the 5 minutes that the two lads in Blisters had. It is two women, it's an older woman and a younger woman, and I thought it was an interesting dynamic, the younger person maybe looking for something and not realising what she has at her fingertips, and this strength and richness that's there in the older woman, and her backstory and what she has to offer. It's a lovely thing to know the richness and the importance of what those around us have to offer, and sometimes we don't realise it.
For experience.
No, there's not. And I noticed you played a lovely song for your nanny at the start of the programme, so that fits in with the theme.
Absolutely. But onwards and upwards, as we say. You're coming up in the future, All the Moments. Tell us about All the Moments.
All the Moments is a play. It's a one-act play that I wrote. It's about an hour long. When I say one act play, I think it runs for about 50 to 60 minutes. It involves three male characters and a female by voice over, and it's set in the aftermath of a funeral, in a bar after a funeral. It's three lifelong friends who've been estranged for some time, and one of those was in a relationship with the person whose funeral they are at.
One thing that it's specified right at the notes at the start of the play is a guitar. You're a songwriter, a musician yourself. This was your way of bringing music into the play?
Yeah, I was very interested in writing this play because for quite a while I've wondered about how one can best marry a straight play with music, but not in the traditional, or what we conventionally know as the musical. So not using that form. And in this play, the three male characters, say lifelong friends, estranged for some time, used to be in a band together. They're at a funeral of somebody near and dear to them, and they have a guitar with them. One is actually played at the funeral, and in the course of the play, during they're getting to know each other again, and not getting to know each other again so much, but in the course of their chit chat and finding their way around some difficult subjects with each other, they play. I think it's four songs that I have in that play. The actors will perform those songs as part of the play.
And is it difficult to find an actor who has the range of...
Well, I'm going to find out soon enough. The plan is that I'm working again with Richard Lombard-Vance. He's directing this for us, and this will be Mental Magpie, our own production company. It'll be our first production, and Richard is working with us. We're going to have a workshop in January with some actors, and then we will have a call out for casting.
Glad you brought up Mental Magpie. That's your own vehicle, for your own production company, essentially.
Well, yeah, it was set up by myself and my wife Linda, really to be a vehicle for two reasons. One was to be a vehicle for my own artistic output, because I'm not just writing plays, but I probably always will be writing songs as well, and I have dabbled in some other forms too. And the second reason then is to open us up for collaboration with other artists. And like, one example we have is I've written a film script for a short film with Niall Sheeran, who's an excellent filmmaker, who approached me after Blisters was on Tiny Plays. And so that's just one example of us getting involved in other projects.
I'm just going to read you a quote that I got from your website, mentalmagpie.com. Patrick O'Sullivan, interested in exploring the space where stage plays and live music meet, overlap and engage. And All the Moments is certainly a play where this concept is explored.
Yeah, that's true. And I think probably All the Moments was front of mind when we scripted that, because All the Moments really is... It's very interesting to me because it is a marriage of play and music, but as I say, not in a conventional musical sense.
But in terms of, Mental Magpie, it's very aptly named. I mean, what does a magpie do? It collects, it borrows, it steals, and all this kind of thing. Also on Mental Magpie, you mentioned that you're very interested in this idea of collaborating with various different art forms. You yourself are a great example of that. You're a musician and you're a playwright, and you're trying to marry the two together. And you mentioned Niall Sheeran, the filmmaker. So have you any other plans for the new year, for marrying any other art forms? Or?
Well, the major plans, the New Year resolutions, there are a few. Well, the first thing that we want to do is get All the Moments produced, and we're in the process, as I say. We're going to be workshopping that play in January. We're in the process of looking for a venue. I think for this show, it's very important that we get the right venue, because it is set in a pub. There is music involved, and I'm not sure that a straight theatre setting will be the best forum for it. But anyway, that's going to be our big spring. Well, hopefully our big spring 2015 project, the full length play, which I mentioned earlier in the interview, is almost written. I want to complete that. I also want to record some more songs. I've been working on some of the other musicians that I've worked with in my songwriting, and helped me produce some of that stuff. The likes of John Petteridge, Danny Carroll, and Anthony Healy from So She Said Days, and my first band, and of course Donald O'Sullivan, who I mentioned. These are artists also that I hope to do more recording of music with this year. I'll be setting up the Writers Guild of Ireland. I'm a member of the guild, and I was looking for a playwriting group, and there isn't one currently. So although I'm probably the newest member in the door, in January I'll be setting up a playwriting group for other like-minded playwrights.
No better man. And
if I could just let you in on a secret, Morgan, there is this chap very close to me by the moniker of Hooten Watts, and there is talk of a comic musical in the offing, but we'll have to put that to the end of the list and see how 2015 goes.
Talk to us more about that Writers Guild playwriting group there. I mean, you're putting out the call for anybody, I mean, amateur, first-time writers, people who've never picked up a pen, or someone who...
I'm quite new to it myself. I recently joined the guild, and the guild has its own set of requirements to join, but what I'm looking for is for people who are members of the Writers Guild of Ireland, who are interested in joining, if you like, a peer or collaborative group of playwrights to meet probably monthly. You know, we've yet to decide that, but probably monthly in town, in the Guild's office in Temple Bar, and to share each other's work. I already have a few writers, Maggie Cronin, Philip St. John, and others who have said they'll come on board and get involved in that. And we're really going to suck it and see. You know, we're gonna just see if this works. We don't want it to be too onerous and take away from the limited time that people have to work on their art.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, I do think it's invaluable to be able to share your work with other artists.
You have to give yourself deadlines, and even a quick chat with someone else, a like-minded person, as you were saying there.
Absolutely, Morgan. I completely agree with you. One of the my lessons from the Fishamble mentorship program was, and one of the things which I think I thrived on was the fact that there were deadlines. Every month there was a writing exercise, deadlines, and I think that's no harm often. It's a bit easy to just get lost in the surfing the net and you know, forgetting that you're serious about it.
Is it, do you get frustrated being an upcoming playwright, I suppose? I mean, is it competitive? Is it a kind of a lonely place? Can it be?
I don't feel competitive doesn't come into it for me. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it to the best of my ability. I'm always trying to improve what I'm doing, and so I don't think about competition as such. One of the frustrations certainly is funding, and I'm sure every interviewee will tell you this, in the sense that it's, you know, you have a great idea. You've got lots of energy. You might have a great script. You pull together a great team, but you've got to put the thing on, and funding can be difficult. And that, and
absolutely,
you know, if we speak in 6 months' time, I'll be able to tell you a lot more about that.
Well, Patrick, we're just nearly running out of time now. But in terms of finding out more about you and finding out about your work, where can people go?
They can go to www.mentalmagpie.com, and any artists that want to get involved, any collaborations, we'd love to hear from you.
Excellent, Patrick. And your music on SoundCloud?
Also, you can also get to it through the Mental Magpie website, and you will see a page there for songs, and the musical projects go under the moniker of The Stutz. That's me and my colleagues, and the playwriting is under my name.
Excellent. So it's all up on the one website.
Yeah, it is.
www.mentalmagpie.com. Well, Patrick, thanks very much for coming in.
You're welcome, Morgan. Delighted to come in.
Well, that's all we have time for today, folks. Thanks very much for listening. Don't forget, if you'd like to contribute, or if you have an event that you'd like to publicise, you can email me at morgan_O'Reilly@live.com, or you can get me on Twitter at Morgan_O'Reilly. You'll catch us again on the 16th of December, but I'd like to thank all of my contributors. I'd like to thank Colin Rochford on sound, as always, and thanks very much for listening, guys. All the best.
This is 90.3 Near FM.